Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fabulous holiday weekend. Welcome back to the real world this week. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing okay, yes. Time for a little food detox.
You had a very busy weekend, from what I hear. Very busy.
Yeah. A lot of driving, and some bad football and a lot of food. So there you go.
Nick Kieser, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Could not be any happier about my holiday. So we are all good. I did not kill a turkey personally, so we are doing
That's
fine.
Good. A lot of people concerned about that after the choices yours the other day. So I'm glad
Rightfully so.
Left things alone.
No torturing, no killing. Good. Good to hear.
That's always good. Joe, the mighty team that could not yield.
Mm-hmm.
They yielded a little bit on Thanksgiving Day. It was fun to watch.
Oh, I'm sure it was fun to watch for you. It was fun to watch for me, too, although, you know, being around a bunch of Lions fans in their Lions jerseys, you know, I mean, I kind of felt for them, but also it's like, you know, this is what happens, guys. You know, this is what happens if you buy into this team. Yeah, they are they're not very good.
Not very good.
No, they're not very good. I mean, they're not a contender at all.
Okay. I was just checking. I mean, they're 8-3, so I don't want to.
They're 8-3.
I don't want to completely bury them. But yeah, it was fun.
They'll probably get into the playoffs. But yeah, Jordan Love, I tell you what, man.
Two in a row, he's looked pretty good.
He made every throw. He made some really impressive throws, you know, kind of off schedule too. I was impressed.
Sunday night, Kansas City, Green Bay, be there coming up this weekend. Looking forward to it.
Oh my goodness.
That'd be awesome. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. What a win yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. I'm sure people all across the state are thrilled with the football game that we got to see at Nissan Stadium yesterday. We'll get hot and heavy into that throughout the show. The Rob Rant coming up at 7:45, directed specifically at Joe Rexroad and his cronies. Looking forward to that at 7:45. Nice. And we'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Titans do win yesterday, 17-10 at Nissan Stadium. The broadcast on Fox yesterday, Adam Amin, opened up by saying, if you're watching this game, you really love football, and that's a pretty good way to describe it yesterday. Titans win 17-10 against the Carolina Panthers. Carolina falls to 1-10. They are absolutely terrible. The Titans improved to 4-7. I'm not sure that they're a ton better, but they were better than the Carolina Panthers yesterday. What a win for the mighty Tennessee Titans yesterday, Joe, at Nissan Stadium in front of a crowd that was, in your words, maybe the lightest that it's been in Nissan Stadium in a while.
Yeah, now someone came back at me on Twitter, which I'll always call Twitter, and said there was a cold weather game last year where the crowd, or where he thought the crowd is lighter. So, I mean, that's possible, but it was the lightest crowd, and I don't think last year or the year before. I mean, it might be, you know, I mean, obviously then you don't count the COVID year, so. I think it's been a while, you know, noticeable difference, and no surprise. There's no Carolina Panthers fans who, unless they happen to live here, who are going to be in that stadium, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, they are that's a bad team. And apparently, you know, the owner of the Panthers, David Tepper, was seen screaming F-bombs into the hallway after the game yesterday. That's, you know, Joe Person, who covers the Panthers for The Athletic, you know, tweeted that. I'm like, oh, I think Frank Reich may be a one and done here.
He might be.
And, you know, there are a couple moments of that game where I'm like, oh boy, I miss Frank Reich, man. There's some interesting decisions. But it was a crowd that was fitting for this game. And you know, look, I will say that the fans who were there were a hearty group in a cool mist and made pretty good noise and seemed to enjoy the win. You know, you don't apologize for winning in this league.
You don't apologize for winning in this league. Titans are now 4-0 at Nissan Stadium, so make of that what you will. Nissan Stadium, they've played very good football throughout the year. I don't know that I would describe yesterday as very good football from the Titans. They scored 17 points in the first half and did not score again after the half, so it was kind of reminiscent of last year when they did that a few times. But they were able to hold on just long enough, and they get the 17-10 win. Derrick Henry, 18 carries, 76 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. He averaged 4.2 per carry. Will Levis, 18-28, 185 yards. We'll get specifically into Levis coming up here in just a few minutes. But the story of the day, I thought, really was the front four and their ability to put pressure on Bryce Young and get to the quarterback, and they did that often yesterday. Joe, I didn't think I could find an offensive line that is worse than the Titans. But I think Carolina's might be worse than the Titans. Just astoundingly good offensive line play that I'm sure the rest of the league was watching yesterday at Nissan Stadium and taking notes on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to leave anybody out. I know there are other bad offensive lines, but if there's a worse offensive line matchup in the NFL this year, someone needs to show it to me. And this is, look, I do give credit for, you know, for the Titans. Give credit to the Titans for affecting the quarterback and being constantly in the backfield, and Danico Autry's flying around. And those guys played hard. Arden Key, first time I'd seen that dude in a while, he was frequently causing trouble. But it's also, yep, it's like, okay, so what does that mean? I do think they played better at home, but also I think very much enjoyed going against that offensive line. It is atrocious. I mean, again, with Bryce Young, the Titans, you know, think about this. Like, the Titans' defensive plan was, like, they had three keys every week. Simmons was talking about this after the game. And, you know, one, like, a big theme was, like, you know, keep it simple and, you know, don't try to do something. It's not familiar, you know, basics, fundamentals, all that stuff. But one of the three keys was, you know, stop 19. I mean, think about that. Like, your game plan is like, ooh, we got to stop Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen yesterday like he was prime Calvin Johnson. Like, we got to make sure that guy doesn't beat us.
Right. And so they did. And he got 2 yards. And I, you know, stupidly started him in the Titans Media League in the clash of the best two teams and might lose because of it. But that's not the most important thing. Important thing is that tells you how awful the Carolina Panthers are, that it can be your game plan and then you can stop them. I mean, Bryce Young just has no chance.
No, it's, you know, obviously I've not spent a whole lot of time watching Carolina Panthers football this year, mercifully so. So I got to watch them for an entire game for the first time. It is really impressive how bad they are. And the thing is, like, I look at their receiving core, and with Chark, who, you know, has made some plays in his time in the league, Thielen's made some plays, you know, Chenault, as we know from, if you're a Titans fan, watching him in Jacksonville, and then Mingo, it's like, okay, well, maybe throughout the year they could have gotten a little bit better. It's like, no, they're terrible. Their offensive line is awful. Nobody can get open. I don't know. Like, I came away from yesterday kind of similar to some conversations that we've had about Levis so far this year in some games. You know, I don't know how you properly evaluate Bryce Young with what's around him right now. And I'm with you. Like, I know that their roster is terrible. So conventional wisdom would tell you that well, what's a coach supposed to do in this situation? Frank Reich is bad. I think Frank Reich is a bad football coach, and I think he might be on the way out after year one.
Yeah, it's not like the entirety of his tenure at Indy was all nothing but bad, but it just, yeah, just some of the decisions, you know, are head scratching, and they were there too. And, you know, Tepper is clearly a, I mean, you know, you don't see too many owners who are willing to just run around screaming F-bombs after a game. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, you were 1-9. I mean, I guess he just really wanted to get to 2-9 and avoid getting to 1-10. You know, I mean, obviously they lost.
Why was yesterday like the tipping point for him?
It's like, yeah, okay. I guess it must have been like, okay, this team's so bad, we can actually win this game, right? And that's what both teams were saying going into yesterday. But yeah, no, I think the writing's on the wall there. I mean, some people wonder if, you know, they'll get to the end of the season. I mean, it, which is just amazing, you know, to think about an NFL coach not getting through one season. But David Tepper is that kind of hothead.
Yep, and the Titans take advantage of it yesterday. They win against Carolina. Like I said, 17 points in the first half, a couple of Derrick Henry touchdowns, a nice drive by the Titans toward the end of the half to get in position for a Nick Folk field goal. Nick Folk drills the 53-yard field goal. So it felt like, Joe, the Titans were well on their way to another 27, 28, 30-point outing at home. It stalled out in the second half for the Titans offensively, and they didn't get there, but they do improve to 4-0 at home on the season at this point. How did Will Levis play yesterday? What did we make of yesterday's performance from the Titans quarterback? We'll get into all that and more. Take your thoughts on it as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts all show long. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, the Titans win yesterday 17-10. Your thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, Will Levis, 18 of 28, 185 yards yesterday for the Titans. Like I said, 17 points for the offense in the first half, nothing in the second half for the Titans offensively. Overall, what did you make of Will Levis and his performance yesterday against the Panthers?
Yeah, I mean, I thought mostly good throws, mostly good decisions. He said afterward, and I agree, there were a couple throws that were surprising to see him miss, you know, where he was able to step into a throw and just missed it. And so, obviously, to me, after he came out, I mean, those are the two things for me. It's like, is he going to be like absolute laser accuracy, you know, all the time or enough of the time to be a great NFL quarterback? And then obviously the, you know, the picks that he had in college, he did almost throw a pick yesterday, telegraphing a, you know, a quick shot to Hopkins. But I thought it was good. And he continues to stand in there with the rush. Actually, I thought that, you know, the protection also was not bad. Again, you know, it's amazing how your pass rush looks good. Whoa, good job against the Panthers. And your pass protection looks way better against the Panthers. Now, they do have one stud and Brian Burns, and he, you know, he caused havoc a couple times. But, you know, Levis stood in there. You know, of course, you know, if you see the whole field in the press box, and I'm sitting next to TD at home games, and there are a few plays like, oh man, right there, Kyle Phillips just broke free downfield. That's a touchdown if he sees it. Hopkins, that's a touchdown maybe if he sees it. But you know, that's a very easy thing to do in the press box. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I think it continued, and just even his descriptions after the game of plays, and I think he's accountable and self-aware and really smart, and is just week after week, you know, picking up on a little nuances operationally and everything else. And I think it was another step forward for him.
Yeah, overall, I thought he was fine. I mean, he did have a couple of drives in the second half where he missed some throws. He had Hopkins coming across the middle that he threw behind him a little yep. bit. There was another play, I think the drive after that, where he did have Hopkins come open, which could have been a touchdown. He kind of missed the throw on the sideline over there. So it wasn't perfect from Will Levis, but I did think, you know, he made some good plays, good decisions with the ball. The drive to lead them down the field to get the field goal, I thought was impressive from him before the half, and they were able to run up, clock the ball. Just the operation continues to be something that's really good with him. From a rookie quarterback, I don't know, Joe, you tell me, for throughout his time as a starter so far, I mean, we can talk about the offensive line and the struggles that way, but overall, just like from an operation standpoint, I think they've been pretty clean there. And you don't always see that with rookie quarterbacks. I think the operation continued to be pretty clean for the Titans for the most part yesterday. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that, because that tells me that, number one, he knows the playbook. He knows, you know, everything that he's supposed to be doing out there. And number two, you know, the film study and the mental side of things feel like they're in a pretty good spot with Will Levis right now, which is good to see out of a rookie quarterback.
No, yeah, absolutely. No, I think, you know, he's going to be one of those guys who, you know, does extra and really tries to refine all that stuff. And I think he's already got a great handle. He's already even talking about, you talk about, you know, rookie quarterback stuff. He's talking about kind of, you know, spending the week making sure he's getting Jalen Duncan hyped up to be left tackle. And he's talking to this guy and that guy. Like, he's already trying to embrace the leadership thing too, which also isn't easy for a rookie quarterback. But yeah, I think all that stuff is going to be good. And you watch him play, and, you know, again, it's not perfect. It could have been better yesterday, but you watch him play and you imagine a legit offensive line in front of him and more people to throw to, and you see how it could be pretty good.
On the receiving front yesterday for the Titans, Hopkins with 3 catches, 49 yards. Chigakonkwo, 4 catches, 45 yards. Chris Moore, 3 for 41, and then NWI, 4 for 41 yesterday as well. I will say the Chigakonkwo catch, which I think that may have been the 25-yarder that he caught, which was as Levis is getting hit. I thought the ball was going to, like, scrape the top of the sky. He put it up so high, but good touch, good loft, and Chigakonkwo, 4 catches on 5 targets yesterday. So nice to see Chig with a decent game. Didn't have any drops, so that was good to see.
Yeah, that was a big play and could have been a touchdown, but that was a pretty impressive throw. Now, another throw that was a lollipop that, to me, Will Levis needs to buy Tajay Spears dinner or two this week, because that's a get your guy blown up throw. To Tajay Spears, which I thought should have held up. I mean, you watch the replay, and I don't think the guy was malicious, but it's also like, I mean, as much as they police safety in the game, and I know a lot of that's around the quarterback, right? I mean, it's different for everybody else than it is for the quarterback. I thought they should have kept the flag on that, but you know, he did. I mean, Vrabel really didn't think so after the game.
I didn't either.
I knew you wouldn't think so. I figured we might argue about this play. Yeah, I honestly get it, because the intent, when you look at it in slow motion, wasn't there. But also, like, those plays aren't in slow motion. So
right.
I think you still have to pull up a little bit more than that guy did. But regardless, yeah, you throw
that's the highlight of the Carolina Panthers season. You're trying to take it away from them the next day.
Well, the thing is, even when they show the highlight reel, the flag will be out, so like they won't even remember that it got picked up. But yes, that is going to lead their highlight tape. But that is a throw where it's like, you, even in today's NFL, where guys are a lot more careful, you still get someone hurt doing that stuff.
It was good to see Spears get back up and play after that game, because, you know, it's one of those collisions where, you know, when you're that quick and that violent, you wonder, is that going to be something that knocks him out? And, you know, to his credit, Spears, I mean, he got up. I think they went over to the sideline and checked him out real quick, and then the next drive he was back in there. So that was good to see from Spears on that front. you know, I agree. Like that's one of those balls that you throw and it leaves your hand and you're like, oh boy, I don't know. Especially if like it's the old days in the NFL, it's different now. But like in the old days in the NFL, you know, when Ray Lewis is wandering across the middle over there, that one could end very poorly.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Mike Singletary, you know, Ronnie Lott playing safety. And I mean, he's going for the decapitation, and there's no flag. It's fine. Yeah.
That could have been bad. I got a text that says Levis with no touchdowns or interceptions and a quarterback rating of 83. Not bad with this line, so I see improvement. Good experience for next year. Proves that they still need Derrick Henry, though. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. Derrick Henry, I thought yesterday, Joe, was good. I mean, he didn't have to do a ton. He, obviously, the two touchdowns that he had on the ground did not get to 100 yards, did not get to 20 carries, and the Titans won. So what does that mean? Only 18 carries and a win for the Titans yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess we just have to change the narrative to 18 or more.
I guess so.
And they're guaranteed to win. But, yeah, he – well, look, it's interesting when you look at usage. I mean, Spears got two carries. Derek got 18. Spears had, you know, the one catch for 1 yard. So it was, I think without looking at the game log, I think it's clearly the lowest usage and production from Spears in a game, and they leaned heavily on Henry. And yeah, you know, I thought he was good. He had a really nice run late, which I think was 18-yarder late. That was a big play. A lot of it was a lot of the same stuff, you know, just grinding into the line. But, hey, look, man, that's what they're built around. And games like this, especially you get a lead, it's great to have them. I thought, other than, I guess, him, you know, that Levis and really the entire team was much better in the first half than the second half. I mean, this, you know, this absolutely could have – I thought we might be looking at a total blowout here. You know, it's 17-3. They get the full 53-yarder, and it's like, the Panthers just want to pack it up. And, you know, the fact that it was 7-0 Panthers after the half, pretty disappointing, I'd say. And also just made for a 30 minutes of just eyesore football.
I tell you what, though, that Ryan Stonehouse, he continues to be the player of the game every week. 71-yarder yesterday for Stonehouse, 53.7 per punt, 5 of them inside the 20. Stonehouse is – silently building a case for Titans MVP.
Well, he was the 71-yarder, which also where was that down? It was down inside the 10, right? Yep. Or down in at the 5 or whatever. That was incredible. He also had, you know, he had another one where it's like, he had a couple touchbacks that he was trying not to be touchbacks. So we're holding Ryan Stonehouse to a high standard.
We are.
He's going to be this team's MVP. But yeah, 53.7 per punt. I'm trying to think I can't find the net. Why can't I find the net? But he's ridiculous. I mean, he's their best player.
He seriously might be. It's pretty
which
incredible.
We've said somewhat jokingly before about Brett Kern. I mean, the Titans punting tradition is rich.
Yes, it's a rich tradition of punting that is just continues to be the envy of the NFL year after year. Obviously, Joe, we kind of knew this was probably going to be the case yesterday when the week of practice began, but no Treylon Burks once again for the Titans yesterday. So I guess you're back on Treylon Burks' watch for this next week as it relates to him and the concussion and coming off the injury, but not good to not have Treylon Burks back out there again. And it makes you wonder like what the rest of this year is going to look like for him with him missing yet another game on Sunday.
Yeah, I imagine that will come up today, you know, with Vrabel. And, I don't think there'll be any answer today, but I would say, you know, you get to this point, like if he's not able to go this week, we've talked about this before, concussions, the timelines can vary widely for sure, but you probably get a little more concerned. Like, what does that mean if he can't go? You know, by this week, you know, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about something more than, you know, just like a guy with a concussion? And look, you see it, you know, I thought, you know, yesterday you had what, 8 guys caught passes, spread it around. You had 3, you had 5 targets apiece for Hopkins, Chig, NWI, 4 for Chris Moore. Was, you know, he was a little bit more involved, which was good to see. But yeah, this offense could really use Treylon Burks in it, you know, and got the Colts coming in. So it is a rivalry week. So that's one of the big stories of this week.
Yep, no question about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, could the Titans maybe have found an answer at the left tackle position, at least for the remainder of this season? We'll get into that, evaluate Jalen Duncan's performance yesterday. That's coming up. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Jalen Duncan, his first start, left tackle. How do you feel he did? I know it was a sack by Burns, but overall?
I'll have to be able to take a look at the tape. I don't have the best view of the left tackle, you know. But I felt like, you know, at least it was a start. And again, it probably had some good plays in there. It was, you know, great his effort and see if he was finishing and competing. And, you know, again, it's a great place to start. It was a great opportunity. Yeah, that's good edge rushers and good interior players. So, you know, good place to start for Jalen.
That was Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday. Titans win 17-10. They improved to 4-7 overall on the year. Jalen Duncan starting at left tackle for the Titans yesterday. Dylan Radunz over on the right side. So Chris Hubbard now out for the Titans. Obviously, they're without Nicholas Petit-Frere as well. And we've seen what Andre Dillard looks like over there. Joe, I realize it's the Carolina Panthers, so that's probably the number one caveat in this discussion. But you do look at the numbers, and Will Levis only sacked one time yesterday and only four quarterback hits for the Panthers. So in the grand scheme of things, when you start to line those numbers up with some of the way that the rest of these games have gone from the Titans, that would suggest a pretty good performance by the offensive line. Now, again, it is the Carolina Panthers. But overall, what did you make of the line yesterday, and what did you think of Jalen Duncan at left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of made a point to watch him a fair amount of the day. And I have no idea how the Titans coaches will grade him. More importantly, how will PFF grade him? I mean, that's
a great question.
That's John Glennon. I need that tweet this morning, buddy. But I thought he held up pretty well. He's an athletic guy. You know, he kind of fits the bill. It's a huge opportunity for him. He a couple times for sure just got beat quickly. But yeah, look, I think it was better than Andre Dillard, and I guess you watch that game, and you could say, you know, what took so long, but you know, he came in with the book on Jalen Duncan was lots of ability, but lots of technique issues and like a project, and I think that's exactly how it looked to me in camp. So I think what you're seeing from him, which is interesting because, of course, we've talked about assistant coaches and players improving and all this stuff. He looks to me like someone who's really taken to coaching and has really improved over months here with the Titans. So that can happen. I mean, I don't think they would have put him out there in September. And if they did, it probably wouldn't have been pretty. I know he's had a little spot duty here and there because they've been so banged up, but yeah, I thought it was pretty encouraging. I don't think this necessarily changes a draft strategy for anybody or anything, but if he's going to be a somewhat reliable player, you know, can he be your swing tackle, you know, and then you feel pretty good about your swing tackle if you go get a left tackle or whatever it is. I think he's starting to identify himself as a guy who they can move forward with and he can have some kind of a role, and they need as many guys like that as possible. They're way too short on guys like that.
Well, I'm with you on the draft part of this. Like, we're a long way away from Jalen Duncan playing his way into like a starting spot for the Titans as they move forward next season. So that's kind of the caveat in this discussion. Now, what we talked about last week and what we've talked about as it relates to Skoronski moving to left tackle and all these things is like, can you get your quarterback through the rest of this year? Like, can you get your quarterback through the rest of this season where you can maybe a little bit more properly evaluate him and the progress that he's making? And is Jalen Duncan right now your best option at left tackle in order to do that for the rest of the year? I don't know. through one game, I think you like what you've seen. Now, again, it's the Carolina Panthers. So when Indy comes rolling in on Sunday, will it look different? Can the Titans offensive line hold up against them? I mean, you got the Dolphins coming up on the schedule, the Texans a couple of times. So, I mean, they're going to be tested as to what they can do here. But overall, I'm with you. Like, I thought for the most part, he held up pretty well. Now, I am interested to see what the Titans have to say about that. And, of course, what our friends at PFF have to say with the grades coming up for sure. But overall, through one game, as Rabel said, I thought it was a good place to start. Now, where do you go from here if you're Jalen Duncan? And is he going to end up being the best option that they have at left tackle? And I think, you know, by process of elimination, he might already be the best option they have for the rest of the season at left tackle.
Yeah, it'd be great for them if he can grow into this and keep getting better, and then then they've got that figured out. Obviously it didn't go well for Raidens. It's really interesting because Raidens has talked so many times in colorful ways about how the left side is more comfortable for him. But I think it's probably what it comes down to with Raidens is, you know, like it's just a little bit less of an issue if you get beat on the right side. And so I think Raidens is going to stay over there, and it's not great, you know, when they play teams that have multiple good pass rushers, but I think that's probably how it's going to look. And then Dillard available for emergency duty, which is quite a shift from what the hopes were when Andre Dillard was signed.
I need to find the person who tweeted this so I can go back and properly give them credit. And I'm going to seek that out as the segment goes on here. But there was a picture that came across my timeline yesterday, Joe, of a Titans fan walking into Nissan Stadium for the game wearing an Andre Dillard jersey, which I thought, is that like a relative of Andre Dillard, or is somebody just an expert level troll and they were able to spend money on buying an Andre Dillard jersey? But I never thought I'd see a Titans Andre Dillard jersey worn by anybody other than him. But we found one yesterday walking into Nissan Stadium.
That's fantastic. Yeah, maybe a family member. Is it possible that someone was so excited when the Titans signed him? Former first-round pick?
Maybe.
Going to be the new left tackle that they maybe just so. Got ahead of the curve?
Maybe so.
That'd be my favorite if that were the case. Did we ever see anyone in a Dennis Daly jersey?
I don't think so.
Andre Dillard is better than Dennis Daly.
Preston Penn, the real Prez 10, took a picture of somebody in a Dillard jersey walking into the stadium. Good for them. Look, I respect it. I mean, you can find some doozies of Titans jerseys, Preds jerseys over the years. Like, I know a good friend of mine that had a Nicholas Burke Forest Predators jersey, which might be the only one in existence other than one he wore when he was here for 11 games or whatever it was. But he's got to be the only Andre Dillard jersey out there of this guy walking into the stadium yesterday. Has to be.
Yeah, no, it's I respect it. I respect it. You know, I mean, I told you guys this, or maybe I said this on the show. I mean, you know, my Aunt Mary went to the Lions Bucks game with all these family members this year, and she ordered a TJ Hockenson jersey. It's like, hey, Aunt Mary, he plays for the Vikings now, but you know what? It looks nice. It looks good.
Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, we are playing our way right into an offensive lineman. Keyword. Offensive. This is from Jared from Spring Hill. Look, yesterday, I think if you're a Titans fan, it wasn't that bad from the offensive line yesterday. Who cares if it was the Carolina Panthers? For one day, can we enjoy the offensive line maybe pass blocking pretty well yesterday? Because it may not happen again the rest of the year, Joe.
Yeah, hey, I mean, and Brian Burns is really good, by the way. And now, Brian Burns also, one time he absolutely left Duncan, you know, left him standing there, you know, and maybe more than once. And he lined up all over the place. But, I mean, at least he is a legit guy. So the run blocking was okay, you know. I mean, but there were some, beyond the, like you said, the one sack, four hits, there were some plays where Levis had, even if the pocket wasn't necessarily clean, like it ended up being quite a bit of time to throw, more than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, quite a bit of time to throw. And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, look, I'm not saying they want Will Levis running all the time, because I don't think they do. Yeah, I mean, outside of just a few guys in the NFL, you don't want your quarterback really running around all that much. So I get that. I do wonder though, like with the, you know, the foot and being on the injury report and missing a day of practice last week, like how much right now is Levis's mobility limited a little bit? Because I did think, Joe, there were a couple opportunities yesterday, maybe for him to take off, and he just didn't do it. Not saying that, you know, I mean, he made the throw, so he saw something down the field. So you'd rather your quarterback do that. But I do wonder, like, from Levis's perspective, is he a little bit hobbled right now where he's a little hesitant to run down the field?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. And yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe, you know, cause you know, you kind of forgot during this game. I did about the foot, but I thought by, you know, with this many games, I thought we'd probably see a little bit more running. Look, I mean, I'm a big fan of quarterbacks who navigate the pocket and have a feel for it and then keep those eyes downfield and make throws off that. I think that's the most effective thing you do, but here and there, you know, it's really effective too. If you can make a defense have to pay and go take 8-10 yards, especially if they're in man or something and one side of the field's cleared out and you make them pay, and you know, it just makes it more troublesome for the defense. I thought we'd see a little bit more of that. I still think, you know, we could see that eventually a little bit more in his game.
I think so at some point too, because that was a big part of his game in college, his ability to extend plays and run around a little bit there. So I do wonder if like the foot's holding him back from that standpoint, but honestly, offensive line-wise, like for the most part, I think they held up well. You know, Skoronski, you know, had a couple good plays where, I mean, they showed it on the Fox broadcast where Derrick Henry's hitting a hole and Skoronski's there just mauling someone. So I know it's a guard, and we could get into the drafting the guard at number 11 overall, but
guard.
I thought he had some pretty good snaps yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I mean, he's, you know, and like someone else texted him, and they, you know, need Skoronski. Oh, someone got Skoronski's autographed card. Congratulations. So you need him to
way
be
to
a Pro Bowler. You know, Michael points out Carolina's 6th in yards per game allowed. Somewhat overrated stat. Some of it is like when, you know, teams don't even need to play offense against them to just, you know, win. But yeah, I mean, they're not, it's not like it's an atrocious defense. It's an atrocious offense.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, so they, you know, it's a fine their defense can hang in there in the NFL. It's a legitimate NFL defense. Their offense is not a legitimate NFL offense. They don't play complimentary football. So, but you know, and again, the Titans, they also, by the way, had the best defensive success against the Titans overall of any team. Titans averaging 27.3 points a game, and at home, the Panthers held them 10 points under that. So, kudos to the Panthers. David Tepper should be excited about his defense.
Way to go, Carolina. Speaking of defense, we'll get into that side of the ball for the Titans yesterday. Where has that pass rush been? Where have those front four guys been all season long? We'll get into that. We'll also get into some of the scuttlebutt around Mike Vrabel from over the weekend as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Titans win 17-10. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. By the way, Preds win last night too. So if you were out there yesterday, Joe, and you performed the double dip, the Titans game at noon and then the Preds game at 7 o'clock last night, two victorious teams in our city yesterday. Preds won 5 in a row. So how about that?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about, seemed like it was yesterday. We're talking about, well, Preds 5-10 and, you know, it's embrace the youth and all this. And now all of a sudden they just can't be stopped. Pretty amazing. And fun stuff, you know, yeah, for the fans to kind of have the combo of some of those young guys come along. You look at like Evangelista, how he's responded to, you know, the healthy scratch, and then also actually winning games.
Winning games. They've won 5 in a row. The Titans win yesterday. A day of winning here in the city of Nashville. And, Joe, a big part of that for the Titans yesterday was the pass rush. They end up with 4 sacks against Bryce Young's. Bryce Young credited with 6 quarterback hits. It felt like they had more than 6 quarterback hits, but that's just me. But
yes.
Arden Key with a nice strip sack yesterday of Bryce Young. Jeffrey Simmons with the fumble recovery there. So Simmons also ends up with a sack yesterday. Arden Key has 1. Denico Autry with 2. sacks yesterday. So that front four that we talked so much about this year not being impactful enough, they were pretty impactful yesterday. And the question is, well, where has that been all year long? Is the answer yesterday simple as, well, the Panthers' offensive line is atrocious, and don't expect that out of that group as they move forward here. But it was nice to see, at least for one Sunday, Arden Key. I swear to you, Joe, when he made the sack and the strip sack and the fumble, I was like, oh, yeah, hey, look there, Arden Key. He plays for the Titans. Legitimately my reaction.
Yeah, me too. It's like, oh, hey, 49. I remember that guy. Yeah, and I tell you what, that was not the last time we saw him causing trouble. I agree, six hits sounds really light. There were a few plays, I suppose, where they totally overwhelmed the Panthers and Bryce Young just ran all over the place and didn't get hit, but it still counted to me as a really good pass rush rep. But Autry looks like a game wrecker. Simmons, I mean, that the difference in the game is the strip sack. And Simmons was all, you know, if the left tackle there hadn't been destroyed by Key as bad as he did, he wouldn't have been in position to tackle Simmons, and Simmons would have had two straight weeks with a touchdown. But I thought Landry, he looked good running around. So, I mean, it's the Panthers. It's a terrible offensive line. These guys have not done this nearly enough against better groups, but maybe this is a confidence builder for them. Get a little momentum going. It still should be the best part of this football team.
I mean, Rashad Weaver made a couple plays yesterday, which was like, hey, Rashad Weaver,
remember him,
making some plays. So it's amazing how the Carolina Panthers offense is the cure-all for all these defenses, except apparently for like Christian Fulton committing penalties in the Titans secondary. Apparently not even the Panthers can slow that down.
Yeah. I thought, yeah, those are close. You know, one of them I didn't love one of the calls, but yeah, Christian Fulton gets picked on. I thought a guy who played really well was Roger McCreary.
Oh yeah,
he's a very good player. You know, the debates going on, and you know, I know we're going to talk about Vrabel next hour and stuff like that, but like, for example, you know, the no players developing under Vrabel thing, you know, which I don't. But I think there are some good examples of like Chig this year. Why, you know, what happened to him? Things like that. But McCreary is a guy who, now he was pretty good from the start, but there's a guy who I think keeps getting hit, but better.
I thought Alshire was really good yesterday. And I know, you know, Carolina doesn't really have much of a running game to speak of. I mean, Hubbard is, he's okay, but there's okay. Not much going from the Carolina running part of this. Like Miles Sanders, you know, I feel bad for Miles Sanders from the standpoint of going from running behind that Philadelphia Eagles offensive line last year to what he's trying to run behind right now has got to be the most dramatic drop-off in the history of the National Football League. So good luck to Miles Sanders on that front. He averaged 1.9 yards per carry yesterday, so that kind of shows you what that's like. But, you know, I thought Alshire was flying around all over the place yesterday. It was good to see that. You know, the secondary – like you said, it was clear that they tried to take Thielen out of the game, and they did that. He ended up with one catch for 2 yards yesterday. Mingo made a couple of plays down the field, but overall, just it never really felt like the Panthers offensively were threatening all that much in the game yesterday.
No, I mean, even some of their best plays were, I thought, actually pretty ridiculous throws by Bryce Young. That's the worst offense. Well, it's the worst team, but it's the worst team because it's the worst offense. And it's kind of jarring to see an offense on the field that's just markedly worse than the Titans offense. You know, I mean, I don't know. Markedly, is that too big a word? I mean, it's really bad. It's really bad. And again, Thielen's a nice ad, but like, you know, look, they did a lot to get Bryce Young. But this is also a good example of like, that's great. But if you have that little support for your rookie quarterback, one, you're going to create a lot of negativity about him. Cause everybody's going to say after the year, Bryce Young's a bust. Not everybody, but you know what I mean? It's going to be very, it reminds me some of Tua, different situation, but you know, a guy who's just in a bad situation early. And it's just like, how could that be your skill group, you know, It's just, I mean, the running backs are fine, but like there's just no one who scares you at all. Again, Titans game plan. I said it earlier in the show. Number two on their 3 points for the defense was stop 19. Stop Adam Thielen. If that's your game plan going into a game, you should feel real good about the offense you're about to face.
Hey, Adam Thielen's had some big games this year, man. Big games.
He has. He's fine. He's a good player. Adam Thielen right now is a heck of a three in the NFL.
He is.
And you know, it would be an okay two.
I agree. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, "I don't understand y'all's positivity. Some serenity now for you both. How many defensive and offensive penalties? How many first downs given up on defense due to penalties? And how many times can your own quarterback make your offensive line false start? But hey, we won." This is from Jared from Spring Hill on the text line, accusing us of being too rosy about the Titans this morning.
It is a victory Monday, Jared from Spring Hill. My goodness. How could you not be excited?
Don't get me started on the quarterback making the offensive line false start. They know what the snap count is. All they got to do is stay down. Like the false starts, especially, and I tweeted this yesterday, false starts on the offensive line, especially when you're at home and the crowd noise is not working against you, are the most aggravating penalties to me in all of football. I can't stand it. You know what the snap count is. Stay down.
Yeah, Raiden's really struggling there. Levis, I saw a tweet about this. He said, capitulate down the field. Kaharski was right next to me like, capitulate? What's he talking about? But then Levis later, he meant to say matriculate. Joe from Nashville says, my thoughts are with the Nashville media. What a sweet boy.
Yes.
I was willing to give him a pass on it. But, you know, I have no idea if this is probably not what you're talking about later, but I was zoning out. I was so tired by the end of that game. That game absolutely almost melted my brain. And so I was zoning out, and I couldn't hear Gentry's question. He was on the other side of me. He asked about Texas A&M and Mark Stoops. And then I asked Levis about him, and he's like, yeah, just answer that. And then the whole press corps booed me. they all laughed at me. Well, I feel shame.
Yeah, a long weekend, and you had to watch that game. So you get a pass from me.
Thank you.
Michael from Madison says, I'm sick and tired of all these false start penalties. It's killing drives. And while I have a little bit more faith than last year of picking up third medium/longs with D-Hop now in the mix, it's still not very optimal for success. A shinier turd is still a turd. This is from Michael and Madison on the text line. Titans fans bringing the noise on the text line in this segment. Can't even enjoy a victory Monday anymore. Can't enjoy it.
I thought we'd see more anger that they won because, as John Glennon has pointed out, they just went from 6 down to 10 on the draft chart.
They did.
Have not seen that as much yet.
Not much. I'm sure we'll see it through as the week goes along here. Now, having said that, I watched a fair amount yesterday of the Jags and the Texans, and we'll get a little bit more into that later. But I'm watching that saying, all right, well, they got to play the Texans twice. They got the Jags another time. The Colts won again yesterday. Who, by the way, the Colts, I believe, are in a playoff spot right now, which is incredible to kind of think
wild
about with Gardner Minshew as your quarterback. So as refreshing as a victory was yesterday, at least in my mind, to talk about, I don't know how many more of those they're gonna see this year. Like, my opinion of this team and what they're going to finish like does not change a whole lot based on the 17 to 10 thriller against Carolina yesterday.
No, nor does mine. I mean, I think, who knows this week? I mean, I still don't think the Colts are very good. That, you know, neither of the Bucs, they outscored the Bucs. But the Texans almost pulled that off yesterday. I kind of thought the Jags might kind of thump them, and they didn't. So, yeah, there's a lot of games that I would say the Titans are absolutely at the disadvantage coming up on the schedule.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Lots of conversations surrounding Mike Vrabel over the weekend and his job status here with the Titans. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.